All right. I'd like to welcome everybody with us here today, whether you're here in person or out there on the interweb. And I just definitely thank you for tuning in. If you're on Facebook or YouTube or whatever you're picking us up under, and I'm just glad you're here to hear the Word and to come under the Word of God, as all of us need to. And as we continue our Lenten series this day, again, I need to give credit where credit is due. And several people have asked, why are you doing this? You never did this before. Well, that's because I'm using somebody else's material, and I need to give credit where credit is due. So the material we're using is called Journey of Stones, and we are actually in our next installment, which is called Sticks and Stones, and comes to us from John 8, 1 through 12. But I'd like to thank Brother Steve Molin, who put this together. And as I said, I do not use it verbatim, but it's a good theme and a good outline. And it definitely causes me to think and to draw me closer to the Lord in how I pursue Him. And we should all be pursuing Him. And I'm very grateful for the work that He has done. So we're going to move into this week the thought of sticks and stones. And it's kind of funny when you think about this. I need us to think about something. When we were kids, years, some of us decades and eons ago, we used to have little what we called playground rhymes or ditties that we would say to one another, like liar, liar, pants on fire, nose as long as a telephone wire. Okay, Dan has one. Is what? Bless. When somebody sneezes.
God bless your heart and soul, and tie you to the telephone pole.
Okay, how many of you had little ditty sayings like that? Right. Okay, when we were growing up, we used to step on a crack, break your mother's back, right? When you're walking down the sidewalk. So you would try to miss every step. You didn't want to hurt your mom, right? You loved her. Unless you were mad at her, then you stepped on everyone. Of course, in this gym, you would have a hard time staying off the cracks in the wood, right? Well, there's one saying out there that all of us know. And unfortunately, some of the sayings that we had were funny. Some of them hurt people. But this saying is one that we would use to defend ourselves, okay? And we'd get into an argument with somebody, and there would be some name-calling and that kind of stuff going on, and we'd look at them and say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And then we'd dance off, like didn't faze us. And the reality was everything they just spoke really did cut right to the core. And it's so much of that happens in our world and in our lives. I think about how many people out there are being slayed with the words that come off of our tongue. The scripture tells us that, the tongue is a mighty fire, okay? And it tells us that we are supposed to tiller our tongue. We're supposed to have control over our tongue because the tongue can steer the whole ship, right? The rudder is one of the smallest pieces of equipment on a boat. And yet without that rudder, the boat has no direction. And oftentimes the tongue is what takes direction in life and or directs others. And we need to be careful of that and just how that works in our lives. Many of the sayings that we just looked at here, this is one I love, okay? When we were kids, how many of you used to pick on people? You saw two kids and they kind of liked each other. And you would say, so-and-so and so-and-so sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G, we'd think it was so funny. And they're all red-faced, embarrassed, and, well, I don't like her, I don't like him. And then you'd see them behind the playground, Oh, the things we do. The bad thing is we grow up. We get older. But mentally, we continue to do those same things into life. And we see it happening around us all the time where we look at the media and we start to see what's going on. And the fact that teasing right now, we call it bullying in the schools today, right? We call it bullying in the schools today. How this can truly cause a harm that lasts, okay? A lot of us think, well, I didn't really harm them. You know, I may have hurt, but I didn't harm them. Because there's a difference between hurt and harm. Hurt is pulling off a Band-Aid. Harm is sticking in a knife. Do you get my point? Okay? And we need to remember that words cut. That's sometimes, that's just, you're not pulling off the Band-Aid. You're sticking in the knife. And our world does that so often. And lives are destroyed. I can remember there was a time in my life where, you know, and I have to think about this. My father, you know, who loved me, whatever that word meant to him, would call me stupid, dumb, worthless. And that was constant from the time I was about 7 or 8 years old until well into my teens. I heard it all the time. I never heard, I love you, you know, I'm proud of you. I never heard those words, okay, until I got into really bad trouble. And finally, my dad broke down and for the first time told me he loved me. And I just looked at him and said, yeah, right. That's the first time I heard those words, and the other reason you're saying them now is because you're embarrassed. And he got up and walked away because it was the truth. But I had become worthless till that point in time in my life. Because I heard it so often, I began to become it. I began to believe it. Because the more you hear something, the more you will believe it. Okay? Look at our news media today. They constantly tell us things, and it's, quote-unquote, and we all know the term, fake news. Fake news. It's all propaganda to get us to a place where they control us, and we're thinking along their line. And yet, it's all done by words. It's all done by words, because if we hear it often enough, soon it begins to take root, and then it begins to grow fruit. And that's a dangerous thing, because that can be detrimental, not only to us, but to many people around us. You know, I want you to think about how that kind of stuff affects us and just where it leads in life. You know, there's a story out there, and you know, I don't even have to go to a story. I can point to a truth, but I won't do that in our own congregation because, you know, we love the young lady. And it just still stirs my soul when I think about how much hurt there was in her heart, in her life, that Lexi Jo would take her life. And all because people's words and actions were focused like a gun. I use those words purposely. You all know why. But we have to think about what we're saying. We have to think about the directions that we've taken. We have to think about how we want an outcome to come. Because if you just throw, you know, it's funny. We'll throw gasoline on a fire and say we're trying to put it out. How's that working for you? You know, and one of the things I hate, you know, when we start getting into this stuff, when you were on the playgrounds and somebody started picking on you and saying things about you, how many people came to your defense or how many people came along and started picking on you as well? Especially if there was a group of 4 or 5 and they were picking on you and you were one. Oftentimes what happened was they would come and they wanted to be part of the big group. They didn't want to be part of your group because you were just one. So they started, And the amazing thing is, if we look at our world today, right now, we're told that the Christians are the silent majority in the world, in the United States, I should say, not in the world, in the United States. We're the silent majority. Why is that? Because we've been told to shut up. We've been told to keep our mouths shut. We've been told that Christians are all forgiving and all loving, and we're not supposed to condemn anybody, We kind of talked about this today in our Bible study, didn't we? And that's wrong. We are to be light bearers. We are to point out bad stuff that happens in the world. We are to bring it to light. Jesus is the light of the world. How many times do we read in the scriptures where he came against the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders? And he showed them time and time and time again that they were wrong, in the hopes that they would repent. But our world keeps telling us, just as the Pharisees told Jesus, to shut up, shut up, shut up, stop, stop, stop. And that's wrong. We need to understand. And it's funny, because when they lose argument, they just start calling names. Okay, well, you're idiots, you're bigots, you're homophobes. And again, we get back to the sticks and stones. Because, oh, I'm not really hurting you. You know, if we did that kind of stuff to those people, we would be arrested for terroristic threats. And that's hate crime, folks. That's hate crime. And yet they're getting away with it. Don't we have laws on the books to keep hate crime from happening? Well, there is no such thing about hate crime against Christians. Didn't you know that? That only works for people of other faiths. Because you're the majority, so you can't have hate crimes. That's just like, you know, because I'm a white male, I'm part of the majority, so I'm the racist. Wait a minute, what? Wait a minute, you're discriminating against me because I'm a white male. I haven't done anything to you, but you're discriminating. Oh, no, no, no. White males don't have discrimination. You're not a minority. We can do to you whatever we want. I think it's funny, because within the next 15 years, white males will be a minority people. What are they going to do then? It'll be too late. They've already killed the tree. You see, their trees are bearing fruit. And the fruit that's being bore is not good fruit. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. But we need to wake up in righteousness. We need to wake up in dignity. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of John. We're in the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 12. We're going to read this in three separate pieces, just a few verses at a time, and then I'm going to break it down for us. From chapter 8 in the book of John, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and I call this section the accusation. Please remember how detrimental accusations were. How many of you remember the Supreme Court nomination that wore down to an accusation, and it took months and months and months, and a family was ruined, and a man's reputation was ruined? The amazing thing is, he sits on the Supreme Court today, but the damage was already done. All right? They're going to watch him for the next 50 years, regardless of what he does, because of an accusation. Nothing proven, but an accusation. Let's see what happens. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him. And he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act. Now, in the law of Moses, Now the law of Moses, it commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say?" Now I want you to think about this situation, okay? I want you to think about this scene that is taking place right now. You know, we think about it, and we think about it in sterile terms, okay, in sterile thought. But I want you to be there on that day. I want you to use a little bit of imagination. And I want you to think what was going on, all right? Here these scribes and Pharisees brought this woman in who was caught in adultery. This woman was caught in the very act. So let me ask you this. Do you think she had clothing on when they threw her in the court, in the floor on the court? And believe me, where were they? They were in the temple. Okay? So here this woman is, completely naked, being drug out before the public and thrown into the court where the temple was. Okay? We're talking about a holy place. And they're dragging her out there in her nakedness to point out her nakedness. We're going to see that there's more kinds of nakedness before God than any of us want to admit. Because the truth of the matter is, every one of her accusers was naked before God. He saw their hearts. He knew what was going on. So here's the accusation. How do you think this woman felt? Was she a sinner? Yes. Did she deserve this type of treatment where she was dragged into the public square, thrown on the ground? I mean, you know, hey, this, we're told that, you know, hey, she broke the law of Moses, right? She broke the law of Moses. Oh, my goodness, how many of us have broken the law of Moses? So here's the accusation. The Sadducees and the Pharisees bring her. You got to wonder to yourself, wow, boy. Those guys must be holy people because, you know, well, of course she was caught in the act, right? One of the things that I like to think about is the fact that the law of Moses says if you are an adulterer, both the man and the woman are supposed to be stoned. Where was the man? Where was the man? Did they bring him? If she was caught in the act, where's he? Kind of makes you wonder who she was caught with. And the fact of her being caught may have been a trap for her. Okay? Something to be used and discarded by one of the religious leaders of the day. Does that sound familiar to our political arena today? Because remember, this is politics. You know, I think it's funny. Everybody thinks this is all about religion. Please understand the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's politics, people. You know, I think it's funny. They say religion and politics doesn't match, doesn't mix. Want to bet? Who do you think put politics in place? Who created it? Who governs it? That's the problem. But here we have the accusation, and how much did this accusation hurt this lady? There she sat, there she was, on the ground, in the court, in front of all these people, and she didn't have anything to say. Number one, she couldn't. She knew she was a sinner. But she had so much fear in her. How many of us, when this kind of stuff comes at us, how many of us have the wit to know what to do right now? You know, we've heard the saying, you know, again, it comes back to these sayings that we say, like a deer in the headlights, right? She was so overcome with fear and disgrace and shame that there she was, defenseless at this point in time. Now let us read verse 6 through 9. They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone with the woman where she was in the center of the court. Now, please understand, again, I want you to think about this, all right? Jesus was in the midst of a teaching. The whole synagogue or the whole court was full, all right? And Jesus is teaching these people, and in walk the Pharisees and the Sadducees with this woman, and they throw her down there, and they already got their stones in their hand. Okay? They already have their, they've already judged her. Now let's see what he's going to do. And there they stand. This section, I forgot to tell you what I called this section. I got to look at my notes. I called this section the Redeemer Restorer. Okay? Because here's this woman. They're ready to stone her. They got the stones in their hands. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And what does Jesus do? Does he stoop down to pick up a stone? No, he goes down to the ground and he starts writing something. We have no idea what, but they didn't like what he was writing. Did you notice that? They did not like what he was writing, and they came at him again. So he stands up and he looks upon those who are judging her, those who are bringing the charges, those who are bringing the accusations, those who are throwing the stones already. They've already thrown the stones in their spirit. And he says that he who is without sin cast the first stone. But what ends up happening? Is that the end of it? No. Because instantly, as soon as he's done, he goes back to writing in the sand. I would love to know what Jesus wrote in the sand. People have, you know, pondered it throughout time and all kinds of suggestions and what have you. It doesn't matter to me what he wrote in the sand. What matters is the fact that of its outcome. Remember, Jesus is the truth, okay? He is the Word of God incarnate. So whatever he was writing in the sand, all of a sudden, and I think it's funny, because who did it hit first? The older men. The older men. And they began leaving one by one until finally there was none of her accusers there. I can guarantee you the people he was teaching were still there because they're watching what's going to happen. The accusers left. Please understand that. Doesn't say anything about the other people leaving. The accusers left one by one from the oldest down to the youngest. In other words, it took them a little while to figure it out, right? The older we are, the quicker we can kind of figure things out. Until we get too old, then we kind of go backwards a little bit, and then it takes a little bit longer. But you all understand that. We all know what that means. But as we mature, all of a sudden we get a little bit more of understanding and compassion. And we realize just how much we've been given of understanding and compassion in our lives because of the stupid things that we've done. And none of us here have done stupid things, right? No. We're Christians. I see you like that. So here he is, and he stoops down, and he starts writing, and there he's left with the people and with this woman. Now, I'm going to tell you all right now, there was only one person in that whole place that was able to judge her. There was only one who was worthy to judge her. And rather than judging her, what he did was restore her. What he did was redeem her. I don't know what he wrote in the sand. I have no idea. All right, but whatever it was convincing and convicting enough that the accusers left and they each dropped their stones. Can you imagine what that looked like? Boom, dropping their stones and walking away. Can you imagine what that sounded like? Instead of thud hitting her, it was thud, the reality of their own defeat, the reality of their own shame, okay? And what they had brought and how it came back on them. So is that the end of the story? They leave. We're done, right? No, we're not done. Because there is a verdict, and that's the last section. Verse 10 through 12. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, now I think that's kind of neat because this is twice now the scripture says that he straightened up, okay? Now I want you to understand we're talking about God, okay? He's not crooked. Okay, he's not self-seeking. He straightened up. Okay, we need to straighten up. That means to get right. Okay, to come right. He straightened up. And Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Doesn't that sound wonderful? I do not condemn you either. And that's the end of it, right? Wrong. You see, as Christians, we think that we're just supposed to give grace, 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 give grace. But you see, Jesus tells us otherwise. He says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Folks, hear that, okay? Grace comes with a condition. What's the condition of grace? Don't do it again. Daniel says to me all the time, we'll forgive you this time, just don't let it happen until next time. That has stuck with me like you don't know. It's funny what my elders teach me, okay? And it's good things. Because there are things that we do that are stupid and can be forgiven every time. There are other things that shouldn't be. Am I right, Daniel? Okay. But Dan is saying, hey, this is not a big deal. Yeah, so you messed up, you know. Hey, that's all right. Just remember until the next time. Because you are going to screw up again. How many of us are perfect? Okay. How many of us screw up time and time and time again? Now, oftentimes it's not the same thing. It's just another screw up. Because we learn from the screw-ups as we go, not to do them again. If you continue doing the same thing and expect different results, what is that called? Insanity. That's exactly right. And there is a lot of insanity in our world today. And we need to call it that. But we don't want to come against the people in such a way that we put them so far down that we have judged them. Okay, now we are to judge things. Please don't hear me not saying that. There is a place and a time for judgment. But we need to work in accordance to Matthew 18:15 when it comes to those realities. We need to go to a person and speak with them and try to reconcile. Remember, God has given us the message of what? Reconciliation. Because we have been reconciled unto God. Now we need to reconcile ourselves unto others and then tell them why. Because God has reconciled us. He holds our sins not against us. And I'm not going to hold mine against you. Number one, we're told not to. We pray it every Sunday. So here we are. He says, go and sin no more. But you see, he's not done there. And then Jesus again spoke to them. Remember, this is the part I want you all to understand. The people are still in the audience. She's right there in front of them. Now he goes back to teaching. And he says to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. They wanted to kill her. I think it's funny because this next paragraph, there should not be a split there. There should not be a split there because this is an ongoing conversation. This is a teaching that's happening right on the cusp of what just happened here. And he says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He just told this young woman to go and sin no more. Well, where was she supposed to go? What was she supposed to do? And he says, please remember, if you cast out a demon and you don't put something in the house to fill it back up, seven more are going to come back, stronger than the first, and you'll not be able to dislodge them. Here this woman had a sin in her life. She had a need. She had a desire. There was something missing. She wanted love. She wanted affection. She wanted to know somebody cared about her, and she was finding it in all the wrong places. Our world is like that. We all seek in the wrong directions. Can I get an amen? But there is a direction that is right, and Jesus is speaking to her, and he says, get rid of your sin and take me into your life. I will cast out the darkness, and you will walk in light and life, because what you had was death, because legitimately she deserved to be stoned. But in the grace of God, as we come to him, Now remember, she didn't have the choice to come to him. She was forced in front of him. And God said, mercy. Mercy. We need to remember, folks, that many times in our lives we've done the same thing to people. And we've had many of the same things done to us. Jesus is the only one who's worthy of bringing judgment. Amen? And on this side of the cross, remember this, what we just learned here, what we just went over here, happened on that side of the cross, on the other side of the cross, in the law, not in grace, in the law. And God was bringing something new through Christ, and it's called grace. And we stand in grace. We're on this side of the cross. Should we be acting like those Pharisees and Sadducees? Or should we be acting like people who have been forgiven, who've received grace time and time and time and time again? Doesn't this go back to where we were today in discipleship? That's why I kept my mouth shut today. Yeah. Because it was like, God, you are so good to us. He wants us to get this. He wants us to understand. The brothers and sisters, there is a place where we will bring judgment, but it's not snap judgment. There is a place where we need to walk in rebuke and in discipline, but it's not snap rebuke and snap discipline. We need to walk with the person for a time. Because a lot of times people don't know they're sinning or don't understand the depth of what they're doing. And you've got to walk with them. And if they don't turn, then yes, we bring discipline within the church. If they're out in the world, we can't discipline them. They're God's responsibility. But inside the church, we are to discipline. However, that discipline should not be to a degree, unless it has to go there, that harms them. And sometimes, if you read the scriptures, you will see that there are some times when that has to come. But I'm going to tell you right now, nobody should be taking that line, that course of action, until it comes to that place. Because remember, and I'm speaking to the elders of the church, we shall be judged for what we do. Amen? And we can never forget that. And how many of us have received grace? Today, you're going to receive stones. These stones, I got some other stones up here. Brother David, no, Pastor David. I got it before he got out of his seat this time. And Brother Ryan.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor. If you would, you do this side, Brian, you do that side. Take your stone this day. And for you that are out there on the interweb watching with us, go out in your front lawn and pick up a stone. Put it in your pocket. Carry it with you this week. For this stone that you are receiving this week, and this is kind of funny because I've got these three stones up here, and I'm going to pick up this one. It says right on there, it says, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. I want you to think about something. When they cast stones, they weren't these little pebbles you're putting in your pocket. They were hunkers, as big as this and bigger, because they meant to do harm. And I'm going to tell you right now, each and every one of us, when you pick up this little stone and you put it in your pocket, you can remember a time when you cast a stone at someone. You made a comment that hurt. And then we would couch it, right? How many of us couch it? Oh, I'm just joking. No, you're not. You mean exactly what you're saying or you wouldn't have said it. And words cut like a knife. Sticks and stones will break your bones, and words can ruin a life. Because it's like feathers in the wind. You take a pillow with feathers and you take it outside and throw it out into the wind on a windy day, You ever going to get all those feathers back? Never. And that's exactly what happens to our words. And it goes out there, and if it's not, yeah, that's one of the things I like about our news media. They'll print something on the first page that's slanderous and inflammatory, okay? And then they get in trouble for it, and on the fifth page, the very bottom, in small print, a one-sentence thing will say, "We're very sorry, we retract our comments that we made on such and such a day." And nobody sees it. God sees it, folks. That's why you're carrying that stone in your pocket today. Because God has seen what stones you threw in the past. In fact, some of you right now are poised to throw stones yet this week. Some of you are thinking, even right now, as I'm saying this, you're thinking about somebody that you've had a grievance with, and you were thinking about, well, when can I unload this thing? When can I cast it? What's going to be the most opportune time? And we spoke about how the Pharisees did that to Christ. They looked for that opportune moment to cast that stone. And that's exactly what we do. But I want you to understand this. There's only one who's worthy of casting stones, because he is the rock of our salvation. And if he casts that stone upon us, we will utterly be crushed. Today, this week, take your stone, put it in your pocket. Think about the stones you've cast. Think about the stones that have been cast at you. Think about the stones that you cast at Christ. Every time we sin, do you realize we're casting a stone at Christ? Because we're saying you're not who you say you are. We don't believe you. Do you realize that's what you do when you sin? That's what I do when I sin. We are denying Christ. No, but Pastor, you don't. No. Don't give me your butts. The truth hurts. It won't harm you unless you keep walking in it. Then it will harm you. So let me rip the Band-Aid off and put some ointment in. All of us do it. We need to stop. We need to carry this stone this week and then next week. Bring it to the altar and get rid of it once and for all. Would you rise with me this day? Father God, we come before you realizing that, yes, we have cast stones. We have hit people with sticks. And those sticks and stones, Lord, have been the very words out of our mouth. Father, we ask that you would forgive us, that you would allow us to walk in remembrance of where we would have used our words against someone else, and that we would ask them for forgiveness, that we would ask you for forgiveness. And Lord, if we need to go to a brother or sister, then we need to go to that brother or sister, and we need to ask that forgiveness. And Father God, we also ask that you would forgive those who have cast stones at us. And Lord, that we would let that go finally and not allow those stones, those wounds that have been there for a long time to affect us any longer. For Lord God, we realize you are the only righteous judge, and you have not judged us, but you have brought us mercy. You have brought us compassion. You have brought us health, healing, and the light of the love of your grace. And we ask, Lord, that as we come into this season of Lent, you would help us, that when a situation comes and we disagree with it, that we won't make those snap judgments, but that we will walk in the righteousness of Christ and with grace and mercy speak truth in love. And yes, Lord, sometimes that means rebuke, but more than not, Lord, it means grace and it means mercy. So let us be mercy. But let us be the salt of the world and the light of the world, shining into the darkness. Let us show the darkness. Let us give the spice of life. But we also remember that light and salt heals. And may that be our hope, to heal the hurting, to bring them from darkness, and to set ourselves free from the darkness that is yet in us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Guide and keep us, we pray thee, that we may come unto you full and whole and holy unto the day of thy resurrection. In Christ we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.